Greetings, Jesus' name, and welcome each one here this morning. Thankful for some of you that came in later. I noticed that the front of the church was almost empty, and so you make a difference. God bless you all. This morning, I'd like to turn to 1 Peter again and look at part of chapter 2, and maybe before we do that, we can stand and pause for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for the blessings that we have. We thank you for the opportunity to be gathered together as your people, and we are thankful that for the peace that we can have in you as we yield our lives to you this morning. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would minister to each one of our needs. I pray that you would draw us to yourself and that you would minister to us through the preaching of your word, through the reading of scripture. And Lord, we want to apply ourselves. We want to hear. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just have your way. We pray for those that are not here this morning. We lift them up to you and just pray that they would be blessed and encouraged wherever they are. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Going back to the first chapter, just a couple of verses that I would just like to look at again, and that is in verse 7 there. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perishes, though it be tried with fire. And just the blessing that we have as we see life doing that to us. And the point of that is to, God wants to know that we're for real, that we're, that he can count on us. And so, I was just blessed by that. And then in verse 14, it reminds us, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. And as I look at scripture, and then we go into chapter 2, I think one of the tendencies as people is if things aren't going well for us, it's easy for us to revert back to the things that we were used to. And he's telling us not to do that. And so going into chapter 2 here, I'd like to read the first 8 verses here and just spend some time looking at that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Coming back to verse 1 here, just like to read that again. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. These are all things that he's encouraging us, reminding us to lay these things aside. In Romans chapter 13, verse 12, just a verse here that I think speaks into this. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. That is what he is encouraging us to do here. When we look at malice, and he's saying here to rid yourselves of all of malice, and when we look at malice, we think of putting off malice, laying aside intentions, desires to do evil. We're laying aside these things, and when we think of malice, we think of desires to do evil, the desires to see others suffer or bring harm to others. So laying aside, putting off, these are things that God wants us to put off, and Peter is encouraging them to lay these things aside. In John chapter 1, verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and says unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. In looking at guile, in the NIV it says treachery. And so we think of guile, and that is not, he's saying not to be part of those things. We know that Jacob used guile to deceive his father. It was cunning and treachery. He had a plan. He got what he wanted, and he did what we're told here not to do, to use treachery or to be cunning, deceptive, and he felt accomplished by that. But we're reminded here not to do that, and we can do that in different ways. As little children, we can learn to do that with our parents. We can make it appear like we're doing one thing when we're actually doing something else. And as adults, we can do that to each other. In business, we can have a practice of doing that. And typically when people are tempted to do that, there's a reason that they do that. And the reason would be, one of the reasons, the big reasons that I see that people are tempted to do that is to get gain. It's a selfish look at life, and it's the the intent is for me to get gain beyond what someone else was planning on giving. And so it's benefiting me and it's hurting someone else. We look at, in the first verse here, hypocrisy. It's pretending to be something that we are not in our beliefs. Often we see that played out in our relationship with God. Not necessarily with God. We know that we can't deceive God, but we can deceive people. And so maybe we pretend to be okay when we're not. We like to, as people, if we're not something, we like to convince or deceive people into thinking better of ourselves than we are. Envies. When we think of envies, and it's one way to describe that would be to be resentful. A desire for what others have. So we're reminded here, the first part of this verse says to lay aside, to put off. These are things that we're supposed to intentionally lay aside. And then the last two words in this verse are speaking, talks about evil speakings. When we think of evil speakings, what I believe it was telling us here is there's an intent when we're talking and communicating with each other. It's talking about saying things about people, and the intent of it is to damage other people, to make them lesser than they are, and typically one of the reasons that we do that is we are probably not secure. I'm not secure myself, and so I'm trying to make other people look lesser than they are, and it's a focus on myself, a focus to lift myself up and make myself better than I am. And we do that with words. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, tells us here, that let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So, verse 31 there speaks into these things as well. And then verse 32 reminds us the things that we should do. And so I'd like to just look at that and think about that a little bit. What are the things we are to put on? Verse 32 here gives us a couple of things to be thinking about. And kind, we're to be kind. When we think of tenderhearted, when we think of someone being tenderhearted, what comes to mind? I think of someone that has compassion. When we think of someone being tenderhearted, we think of someone that is not thinking about themselves, but they're thinking about me. They're thinking about you. They're thinking about, how's that going to affect him? And there's a care there. And then it talks, the next thing is forgiving one another. And the reason that as we're forgiving one another, as we forgive, the big motivator is that we're reminded what Jesus did for me. And so that is a very big motivator if we are reminded of what Christ has done for me, and therefore I'm willing and able to extend that. In Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, I'd like to read just a couple of verses here. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So there we're reminded the things to put on. We've talked about in 1 Peter 1, the things that we're to put off. And the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 24 talks about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and reminds us that there, against such, there is no law. Going down to verse 2 here in 1 Peter, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. God's word, as we know, as newborn babes, as little babies, they desire milk. They, when they're hungry, they know they need milk. And we see that in animals. If you have a little goat or goats or calves, they know what they need to survive as they learn that milk is good for them. And so it is with us as God's children. God's word brings spiritual growth. We know that we need it to survive, and we need it to grow. And so that's a verse of encouragement there. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, tells us, for the word of God is quick, it is powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. So God's word here reminds us it is alive. As we read God's word, it brings hope. It is alive, and we're reminded here that it is sharper than a two-edged sword. It separates the things, like it reminds us of the things that we're thinking, and it just reminds us of all those things. It penetrates, and God's word judges our thoughts. It reveals the attitude of our hearts. As we look into God's word, it does all of those things to us. If we are open and alive in asking God to speak to us, these are some of the things that we see happening in our lives. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And God uses scripture for teaching, for rebuke, for correcting, training in righteousness. And first of all, I need to experience that happening in my life. As I read God's word, it teaches me. It shows me the areas that I need to change. And it trains me in righteousness. And as that takes place, God also wants us to use our lives and scripture to do that to each other. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11 here, gives, I think, a picture of God's word. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. That's how God wants to minister to us as we take in his word. As we open our Bibles and read his word. As we place ourselves before the preaching of his word. As we open our ears up to our brothers when they share verses of encouragement or admonishment to us. That's what God intends his word to do to us, is what Isaiah 55 shares. Verse 3 here in 1 Peter chapter 2. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Like to just stop and ponder that just a little bit and just think about what ways I've experienced the goodness of God. And if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I think it does our hearts good to regularly just stop and ponder those things and start naming them. What are some things that God has done for you? And obviously, as believers, one of the most important things that we're going to recognize is salvation. But there's many more that bless our hearts if we just take the time and start counting them, start verbalizing them, start thanking God for them. And the list goes on. And sometimes the days, everything feels like sometimes it's like, well, I have my family. The sun comes up in the morning. The sun goes down in the evening. It rains every so often. My friends are just always here. My church is always here. And it's easy to get, at least for me, it's easy to get in that mindset that we just, I take these things for granted. I take my friends for granted. I take my wife for granted. I take my children for granted. And I take the blessing, the material blessings that I have in my life for granted. And he's encouraging us here in verse 3, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And so I need to not take those things for granted. And by doing that, we find ourselves rejoicing as I realize all the blessings that I have that have been given to me by God. Going down to verse 4 here, in verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. We see here, verse 4 describes Jesus as a living stone, Jesus chosen, honored of God, but rejected of men. This just gives us a little picture of Jesus. In verse 5 here, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So here in verse 5, he describes who we are to be. We're also to be a living stone, a spiritual house, holy priesthood, offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus. And so we think about that being our position. And in order for this to be a reality in my life, my position and identity must be firm and secure in Jesus. So going down to verse 6 here, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Verse 6 here, when we look at the end here, it just reminds us here that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And what does that mean? What does confounded mean? Is lack of shame or confused, not in disorder. We are not going to if our anchor, our rest is in Jesus, and we are secure there, we're not going to be put in disorder or confused or put to shame, but we realize it's not about me, but it's about Jesus and what he has done and what he's doing. And that's where our hope and trust is going to lie. Verse 7 and 8, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So we're reminded here, unto those which believe, that he is precious. To the disobedient, he is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. That rock, that anchor, that he is to those of us that believe and obey, he's our defense. He's our anchor. It's where we find our peace and security. But to those that don't believe, he's a stone of stumbling and rock of offense. So just looking at these verses and some closing thoughts that I had as we see God being what God is wanting, is what he's asking of us and how he wants us to live. And something that stood out to me here, and we look in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and we see that Adam and Eve, as they were in the garden, and how they dwelt with God. But when they took things into their own hands and started listening to the serpent there and were disobedient, instead of spending time with God, they found themselves hiding from God. And it was because of this sin that was in their lives. And then again in Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, in the tabernacle there, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So we see a picture of God wanting to be with his people. In Genesis, there was a relationship. Adam and Eve desired that. God wanted that. And we see it here in Exodus. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we see a picture here that the God that we serve, he wants to dwell with us. And we see it in Genesis, we see it in Exodus, and we see it in the New Testament. And when we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, He's asking, he's teaching us here about these things, and that we would be pure, and that we would lay these things aside, because he wants to have a relationship with us. When we think of our lives as a dwelling place for Jesus, as a temple for God, in just looking at verse chapter 2 here, and many other verses as well, but the importance of paying attention to these things, the importance of allowing God to deal with these things in my life, in my heart, that I can be pure and clean. And we see the consequences in Genesis when Adam and Eve ventured out and allowed sin into their lives. It had an immediate effect with them and God. And instead of pursuing God, they hid themselves. And when we stop and think about it, that is exactly what we experience when we allow sin into our lives, when we don't deal with it, when we just put it off and we hide, we try to hide that. We also try to hide from God. And so I was encouraged and challenged when I processed these things and made me think about, or challenge me about, well, what things do I allow into my life? What are things that will hinder or will change that relationship? And so I was encouraged and challenged and just want to, as we see things, as I see things in my life, to bring them to the Lord and have them under the blood. And so, I just want to encourage and challenge us in that. I would like to, in the closing here, if there's anyone that has anything they'd like to share here as far as the messages or encouragement that you received this morning, give you an opportunity to share at this time.
Sure, if I can jump it off together here, but I...
Yeah.
Here again.